Do you think, like I was going to say here before, do you think like the demonstrations kind of tore, split the country into two? Or
it did, very much so.
At the beginning? And
very much so.
Do you think they started favoring the... I mean, where do you think the country turned to? Because I know you had people... I know back then it's different now. I mean, you have people that actually cared about their country and what happened.
It was a real funny time, and I don't mean ha-ha funny. It was just a real funny time to relate to anything that you could believe or to believe in. The one thing that I did totally disagree with during all these demonstrations was how it was hurting the fellows that were, by law, legally, they had to fight there. They had to go. They were there. They were committed. There's nothing that they could do about this. They were our extension, our arm of the armed forces. And I really think that hurt and prolonged this conflict. And it was really bad. But no matter how bad, and a lot of the people I knew that got involved in these demonstrations were very heavily into drugs. Very heavily into drugs. Any and all kinds.
Was that when the hippie?
And during the hippie generation, right.
Peace.
The peace. And that was the greatest thing that ever happened, if that's what it was taken as and treated as. But for every legitimate protester that I met 10 of them that were full of bull. That they didn't work, they didn't want to work, they were so heavily into drugs that they would follow anything or anybody through or into anything. But if it hadn't happened, I don't know what we would have done, whether we would have gone further than the Vietnam conflict into other countries or whatever. I think it did help stop the war. When you stop and look back on it and all the different things that happened. And I'm really, at this point in my life, glad it did happen. Mm-hmm. I did resent, and I still do resent, Jane Fonda going to Vietnam in the name of the North Vietnamese and to visit our prisoners who had been stuck there some of 7 and 8 years. I thought it was one of the most un-American acts ever in the history of the United States of America.
I'd never heard
of her. They call her nickname is Hanoi Jane. Mm-hmm. She visited the capital of North Vietnam while we were at war with Vietnam as a U.S. citizen. To try and stop the war. They used her for a ploy. They made a fool of her. She was so intelligent. And this all comes out years later. Mm-hmm. But I still resent her for doing that.
Yeah.
And I don't care how bad or how wrong my country was, anything that I would do, or anybody would do, that would hurt these gentlemen, these soldiers, these sailors, Marines that were trapped in these prisons there, and they were never going to let go.
Yeah.
As long as they had something like that to get more out of us from. And she helped prolong that thing. That I was very ashamed as an American to even be associated with that name, to think about it, to see it. And servicemen to this day that I talk to about that, go back to that. There's no way I could ever understand their bitterness because I wasn't there.
Yeah. What about, do you have any friends that did survive or came back and told you any kind of stories of what it was like, or if you recall anything?
Oh, absolutely.
Like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know any offhand right now that you could?
Well, the least.
I don't know if it's any significance, but just to, see.
Oh, just exactly what it was like.
I know I had a buddy a friend's dad that went through it, and Augie had the problem where he got gangrene in his toes. I mean, it's just
the jungle rot and all the different diseases and things you get from the jungle, even if you're not fighting a war. But compounded by being around another 500,000 guys slogging around through the crap, and you're sharing showers and so on, you get funguses. I talked to quite a few fellas, and some of them were just blowhards and probably never left the States, which they didn't. But I knew a half a dozen different combat veterans that were that really. I didn't. I only knew one of them prior to the Vietnam conflict. The other five that I know specifically were there. I met after the conflict and got to know them real well and became close friends with them. And it was a very horrible thing. There's a fellow that helped us with our race cars, Kenny Kaplowitz from West Palm Beach, Florida. You'd never guess in a million years, but he was he did two stints in Vietnam. He was there a year and was rotated home. He volunteered for another. At the time, he thought and believed in what was going on. He really did. And the second time around is what got his attention, and it was very bad. And psychologically, he wakes up with it every morning in some form. He goes to sleep with it every night in some form. nowhere near as bad as it was. He learned how to deal with it, and he must be an extremely strong person for what he had to go through. He was wounded 3 times.
Get shot or?
Yes, he got shrapnel twice and got directly shot with from a rifle or a machine gun or whatever. He was wounded 3 times. He gave a lot of his life because of what he believed in, and then had his mind changed in midstream with the second tour. And he said it was just pure hell living through that and watching all the good, great, wonderful young men and women die unnecessarily. I heard a lot, a great deal of comment of lack of leadership where they would have men that were in the, in the army for anywhere from 12 to 20 years as platoon sergeants, being led by lieutenants fresh out of ROTC college. They ship them right to the, and cause more deaths because of lack of leadership or ability, and lack of our army, and the lack of leadership in our army in areas. It sounded more like a folly than anything. And what really made these fellows so terribly mad at our leadership and at our president, our presidents that were involved in this, that if they were going to expose their lives, expose them to be killed, they represent this country, we never even did one thing to try and win this conflict. Like it was a war of politics. And to the man, everybody I talked with that was intimate within that country in a combat level, or some that were there in the combat areas but never saw combat, what we were protecting was the family of people that we helped get assassinated and out of there to start a new regime. They're all involved in the drug world, in the heroin, in the trade of opium. And it was like we assisted them in this, and we paid with all these thousands of American lives, one way or the other, to perpetuate their world of drugs and and their way of capitalism. And people resented this terribly.
So you're terribly. Talking about there? I mean, I don't understand.
There was. I'm really, really working in my mind now to remember the family's name. I can see the face of the wife and the two brothers. And I, for the life of me, cannot remember their last name.
That's fine.
It's terrible. But they were they were assassinated or killed. The wife they let go. And then they brought in two other people, and I can see their faces. Can't remember their names. I probably will before this is over.
Yeah. Just bring it up.
And it was just crazy what we were fighting for. And they finally realized people are way, way too smart in this day and age now. Not blind followers like I would have been, and what partially was at the time. You didn't ask questions. You went and you served, because if they said so, it must be necessary. That's how much you trusted your leadership, and how much you trusted your president. But now, and God bless all the young people in this world right now that have come along, that are 30 and under, that have the guts and the intelligence to ask questions and to question these things. I wouldn't blindly follow anybody anywhere anymore for any reason. Having to do with the defense of our country, they come after this country, then there's no question what you do. You have to defend your country, and you should defend your country. But to send my sons or myself off in the direction of Vietnam again, I would never, ever allow it to happen. I would not allow it to happen. The people that dodged the draft during the Vietnam conflict. Right now, I would no more let my sons go, even if they wanted to. I'd have tied them up, gagged them, and hauled them to Canada, Mexico, or someplace. Because I would not want to say, I agreed in any way, shape, or form that their life would be put in jeopardy under those conditions. It was the most fruitless, stupid, dumb-ass war that we were ever involved in. God knows the Granadas and the other little things that have happened since then are still not little, because lives were lost in each and every one of them, and they always will be. It's the one hard truth of war, of any type of conflict.
When the veterans returned, everyone kind of disposed of them or didn't like them.
Despised them. They looked down on them. They spit on them. This Kaplowitz, now here's a good example, bringing up my friend Kenny Kaplowitz. He was... he came back in through San Francisco into Alameda, I believe it was, the naval place there. And he was processed, and he was physically well enough and no problems there to go home for a 45-day leave. I guess it is the Presidio or whatever. Anyway, he was taking a cab. So he was getting a cab to go to the airport or the train station or whatever. And he hailed the cab. The cab came up alongside him and leaned over to the door. When he opened it, and spit right in his face. You friggin' baby killer, you goddamn whatever this. And these are the words that were said to him. Now, he's warning you for this the second time around when Kenny came home. He knew it was bad, what was wrong, and all the different things that were wrong in the world then. And that really upset him. It really set him back. It probably set him back 5 years in his life, just that one little incident. But this is either just one small act against these fellows. It had no more to do with how that was controlled, what they did. And in our country, as in most countries of the world, you take a civilian, man or a woman, a civilian, you train them to be a killer, and you expect them to turn these instincts off, like you turn your light off at night to get darkness, or to turn it on in the morning to get light. That can't happen. It can't happen. It took Kenny 10 years of his life to get to the point where he could exist on a 24-hour basis without worrying about the sky was going to fall on him.
Yeah.
Or the world was closing in on him. Mm-hmm. And in all this time, he's raising a family also. And thank God that's what the kids, his children had, and his wife had as much to do with saving him as a person as anything could have ever happened. Any doctor, as he said years later.
Yeah.